We've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how He ministers to us, how He empowers us to prosper. We've been talking about how He empowers us to prosper in every area of our life, our body, soul, and spirit. And I'm just going to read our foundational scripture that we've been sharing each week, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And all this is be out of the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world." We talked about that, right? There's a spirit that belongs to the world. The spirit of the Antichrist has been in the world for a while now, working in the world, working through sons of disobedience. But we've not received that spirit. You and I say, "I have not received the spirit of the world." All right, this time say it like you believe it and you're speaking it. I have not received the spirit of the world.
I have not received the spirit of the world.
But the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us. Why has He been given to us? That we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. In other words, the abundant life. John 10:10, right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came, why? To give us life, and life more abundantly. That abundant life. That is why He sent the Holy Spirit. That's part, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks now. And we talked about how in Isaiah 11, it talks about the seven spirits of God being the complete Holy Spirit. You know, that spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding and knowledge and the reverential fear of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord. And all of those attributes of the Holy Spirit are available to us. How is that? Well, what did Jesus say when He was about to be sacrificed? Turn to John chapter 16. John 16. And I'm going to start in verse 1 and read down. Well, we'll see how far we get here. John 16, verse 20 says, "I've told you all these things so that you should not be offended." He's talking to His disciples. And He's saying that you should not be offended, taken unawares, and falter, or be caused to stumble and fall away. "I told you to keep you from being scandalized and repelled. They will put you out of, expel you from synagogues, but an hour is coming when whoever kills you will think and claim that he has offered service to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you these things now so that when they occur, you will remember that I told you of them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts, has taken complete possession of them. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away." Now, let's just take a little pause right there. This is the Son of God. He was there at creation. In fact, He helped create the universe. He helped create man. Remember, He said, "Let us make man in our image." In fact, somewhere in Scripture it says that if all the miracles and exploits of Jesus were written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the earth to fill it. This is the Son of God that is saying, "It is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous that I go away." He's saying it's advantageous if He leaves. Well, with a resume like that, I don't know. It sounds like it'd be advantageous for Him to stay, right? But He doesn't do that because He says He'll send another. He'll send another. And we know who that other is. Amen? Let's continue reading. Verse 7 says, "Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, Jesus, if he goes away, he will send him to us to be in close fellowship with us. Now, if you keep your place there, and I'll just read this. 1 Corinthians verse 6, chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you? Whom you have received as a gift from God, you are not your own." See, he is in close fellowship with us because he lives and dwells on the inside of us. And for Jesus to make that statement, it's advantageous to you, to us, if I go away, because he's going to send another. Well, the one he sends must be pretty important. Amen. If it's advantageous for the Son of God to leave so that he can come. Amen? And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this Holy Spirit that we have access to that lives and dwells on the inside of us when we're born again. He comes to live in us. So how does he minister to us? And how do we tap into that, if you will? That's what we're talking about and have been for the last few weeks. And we understand that he dwells on the inside of us. And we talked about last week, where is the kingdom of God? Well, according to Luke 17, verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's inside of you. Are you starting to see the correlation here? Are you starting to understand what's going on? The kingdom of God is inside of you because the Holy Spirit is inside of you, which means the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, fear of the Lord dwells in you. And that is how all of these attributes or spirits, if you will, are available to you. Because he dwells in you. And they manifest as fruit in your life. Last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And I know I can regurgitate them like a laundry list, but we need to take time and really digest what that is saying. This is fruit that should be manifesting in your life. This is visible fruit, if you will, that you should be seeing in your life. Love. Love for the Father. Love for your fellow man. Some of us need to love our spouse more. Joy. Is there joy in your life? I'm talking about real joy. Peace. Do you have peace no matter what the situation in front of you is? Do you have peace about it? Are you like Jesus? Could you fall asleep in the back of a boat when the storm is raging? If there's a storm in your life raging around you, can you find that place of peace that passes all understanding? When people don't understand how you can be peaceful in that situation, can you find that peace, that fruit of the Spirit? Patience. Do we have patience? And we think of patience as in, you know, we get impatient with things like traffic jams and people. But do you have patience when you don't see your life unfolding as you thought it would? Do you have patience to wait for God's timing? If he's called you to something and you don't see it being fulfilled, do you have patience to wait for his timing in that? Goodness. Kindness. Are you being kind to others? Are you a gentle person, not a brawler, not given to anger? Faithful. Can you look back over your life and see a pattern of faithfulness? And we could take that, you know, are you faithful to your spouse, to your family? Are you faithful to your job? Or when you're at your job, are you faithful to do your job? The Bible says to do it as you're doing it unto the Lord, not for man. Are you faithful to Christian Growth Center, where you come and assemble as a body of believers? If you come here, then I assume you call this your home church. Are you faithful to the vision of Christian Growth Center? Are you faithful to your relationship with God? Self-control. Woo. Well, you want to just camp out right there for a little while? Do we have self-control? Oh my, there's all kinds of places we could go with this. This we won't, but, you know, self-control with your own body, with things that are going on in your life. Are you able to restrain yourself in those times of stress and difficult emotional times? But this is the fruit. This is the visible fruit that we can actually take stock of in our life to see. I believe it's like a litmus test, really. You know, it kind of gives us an idea of where we are on the path of our relationship with God. And this is not to condemn anyone. If you don't see that fruit in your life in one area or another, hey, guess what? You can change that. You can change it, because one word from God can get your mind back on track. And it can drop into your heart. And when it drops into your heart and becomes revelation to you, that's it. That's like drawing that line. That's like drawing that line. It's a quality decision that you've made. And you won't go back. These are the things that manifest as fruit in your life. And that fruit evident in you through the Holy Spirit will convict the world. And I say the world, those without Christ. When they see this fruit in your life, I'm telling you, they're drawn to that. They want to know why, how, who. And it opens the door and gives you opportunity to speak into their life. Let's pick up verse 8 where we left off, and it says, "And when He comes," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness," that is uprightness of heart and right standing with God, "and about judgment. About sin," verse 9, "because they do not believe in Me, trust in, rely on, and adhere to Me. About righteousness," uprightness of heart and right standing with God, "because I go to My Father and you will see Me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler, evil genius, or prince of this world, Satan himself, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him." Listen, this is past tense. We are victorious over him already. There is a spirit of Antichrist in the world, but we are victorious over that spirit. We are in this world, we live in it physically, but we're not of it spiritually. It has no power over us, but you have to apply your faith to be an overcomer. He's been judged already. Verse 12, "I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now." But, this is Jesus talking to His disciples, but then He says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, the whole, full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify Me, because He will take of and receive or draw upon what is Mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you." Listen, we have the Holy Spirit. He has been sent. And we have access to this Spirit of truth. Verse 15, everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. In other words, He will reveal God to us. The Holy Spirit will reveal God to you. How does He minister to us? This is how He does it. These are the things that we are to be looking for and studying out and receiving from Him. That is why Jesus sent Him. He's the key to our abundant life here in this earth. How many believe that they can have an abundant life here in this earth? Or how many are just satisfied to have life? To just, you know, accept whatever comes your way, right? Oh, what is that song? I'm not going to sing it. Que sera, sera, what will be, will be. How many just accept everything that comes their way? Or how many understand by faith you can speak to things in your life? You can believe in your heart and speak them out of your mouth and change the atmosphere around you. Part of our abundant life is the production of that fruit that we just talked about. Producing that fruit in our life. Fruit that convicts the world. It's not us. We're not convicting the world. We are not to judge this world. But the Spirit at work in us is convicting the world. He, the Spirit, who has also given us gifts to promote this abundant life. And that's what I want to talk about today, is the gifts of the Spirit. Talking about how He ministers to us and through us. And one way is through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. and I'm going to start in verse 1. Probably going down through at least 11. It says, now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. You know that when you were heathen, you were led off after idols that could not speak habitually as impulse directed and whenever the occasion might arise. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say, Jesus be cursed, and no one can really say, Jesus is my Lord, except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments. That's gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. There's divine grace operating in your soul by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. What varies? Does the Holy Spirit vary? No, the gifts that we're going to talk about vary. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. In other words, there's different gifts applied in different ways that produce different results. It's an easy way to say that. Verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. For good and profit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for good and profit to each one of us. Verse 8, to one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. And to another, the power to express a word of knowledge. and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting and the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. And to another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, these achievements, these abilities are inspired and brought to pass by who? The one and same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. What are we to take away from this? Each gift is brought to pass by the Holy Spirit. Each gift is available to every believer, but it is given to each person as the Holy Spirit chooses or allocates. You know, this, I know there's a great resource out there, and it's been used here, I know, and probably every other church around, spiritual gifting tests. Anybody ever heard of them? And who's taken a spiritual gifts test? Anybody in here? A few? So I don't have a problem per se with spiritual gifts tests, but here's the problem I do have with that. Scripture says that it's the Holy Spirit that gives the gift, and he gives to each one as he allocates. Here's the problem I have with those spiritual gifting tests. When you take them and you say are, you know, leaning towards gifts of healing, well, you kind of pigeonhole yourself there, you know, and you're like, if this isn't happening in my life, well, I'm not doing any good because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But that's not scriptural. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is available to each one of us as he appropriates it, as he allocates it. Does that make sense? They give the idea, those tests give the idea that you're predisposed to a certain gift. And I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that the Holy Spirit can operate in and through you any way that he sees fit to address any situation that you come up against. I mean, what if your spiritual gift test says that you're given to prophetic ministry, you know, interpreting the divine will of the Lord and communicate. And you come across someone's path in Walmart and they got a broken back and the Holy Spirit, you know, is speaking to you. Well, lay hands and heal them. And you're like, no, that's not my gift. That's not my gift. My gift is prophecy. Let me just inspire them by my mighty words. No, no. The Holy Spirit can use you in that moment with the gift that he's allocated to you for that particular time. Does that make sense? Listen, I'm not against those tests as long as, you know, if they're used to maybe motivate you to start in a certain direction, but don't, they're not the end all to be all. Okay? And I'm sorry if I'm rubbing someone's nose the wrong way that has, and I'm not saying that if you've taken that test and it says that you're leaning towards this gift and you're operating in that gift, that's great. All right, we're just going to leave that alone. But the fact is, the scripture says the Holy Spirit gives them as he chooses. And verse 4 says the gifts are linked to the power of divine grace operating in our souls by the Holy Spirit. This was a true freeing revelation for me, because when I read that years ago, it took all the pressure off of me when I pray for someone, you know, it's not me. And this, you can be freed. I'm telling you, if you get revelation of this, it'll free you up. It'll take the fear away that to pray for someone, to lay hands on someone, to speak into someone's life, because it's not you and your talent. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. And if you will understand that, that when you go to lay hands on someone and believe for their healing, it's the Holy Spirit working through you. It's not some power that you possess. You can't buy it. You can't study enough. You can't practice it. It's a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit. You can't hone it. I wrote some notes there and I don't know what they mean, so we'll skip over that. I'm just being real. I mean, so the Holy Spirit ministers to us by being in close fellowship with us because He lives within us. And as such, makes available the fullness of Himself to us. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is available to you. A spirit of counsel, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, strength. All those are available to you because of this vital union. And because of this vital union, fruit is manifested in our lives by it. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And through this vital union, we are given gifts to promote the abundant life Jesus came to give us. To promote the abundant life, to testify of it, to give glory to God for it. So let's look at those nine gifts in a little more detail, just to give you some practical examples, if you will. Because I know it's easy to just, you know, repeat a list and say that's good and well, but we need to see some evidence of this or some examples of this. So the gift of wisdom. Well, turn to Acts 21. And I just have a scripture reference here. I hope it's applicable. Acts 21. Yeah. A word of wisdom. Verse 10, verse 10 says, "While we were remaining there for some time, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to see us, he took Paul's belt, and with it bound his own feet and hands, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, the Jews of Jerusalem shall bind like this the man who owns this belt, and they shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles or the heathens.'" This, I believe, is a good example of a word of wisdom that came to Paul. So this guy, it's kind of like an if-then statement, right? If you go up to Jerusalem, then you are going to be bound and taken. This is a future event. A word of wisdom typically will deal with a future event. Amen? I was trying to think of an example that has happened to myself. And I had one earlier and I should have wrote it down because I cannot remember it right now. But that's an example. That's a scriptural example, I believe, of a word of wisdom. You can think, I'm sure, of many instances where someone has, you know, it can come in the way of a warning or in the way of encouragement as well. A word of knowledge. A word of knowledge would have been a scriptural example is Jesus at the well, the woman at the well, right? You know, she's speaking to him and he's speaking to her. And then he says, you know, you've had five husbands. He saw that. He got a word of knowledge about her, a word of understanding about her. A perfect real life example that happened to me. Someone got a word of knowledge. When I had, and y'all, most of you heard this, when I had that brain bleed, in that instant, a word of knowledge came to the Clays. And they said something in their spirit, something terrible has happened to Pastor Todd. We need to pray now. That is a word of knowledge. That is a word of knowledge for the here and now that can benefit us. And thank God they were obedient and mixed their faith with ours, and we were believing too at the same time that it would be all right, and it was. But that is a word of knowledge. It can come to someone. A word of knowledge is something for the now, for the present. I believe a word of wisdom is for some future event. Faith. Well, a scriptural example faith would be, I believe, when Paul, how many remember when Paul was shipwrecked on the island and they were warming themselves by the fire and the serpent, the viper, came out and bit him on the hand. And what did he do? Shook it off into the fire. I believe he had supernatural faith in that moment. I believe faith like that is just an understanding in your spirit, knowing that you're going to be all right. That all is well. And that's kind of, that goes right along with what happened to me. In that moment, I knew there was just peace. I knew that I was going to be all right no matter what. I knew that. Gift of healing. Laying on of hands. I got Mark 16. Let's look at Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 17 and 18. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. Laying on of hands is one aspect of a gift of healing. Deliverance from demons is an act of a gift of healing. You're healing someone's mind, right? When that gift is in operation, you are healing someone's mind, delivering their soul from that demonic oppression. Amen? Gift of miracles. Well, I mean, scriptural reference, Jesus, the very first written or chronicled miracle we have of in the New Testament, he turned the water to wine. Water to wine. I've been on this kick. I don't know why, but I thought it'd be cool to own a vineyard. You know, I think I just want to own a vineyard for some reason. Just tend to the grapes. And I mean, of course, if you own a vineyard, you got to make wine, right? I mean, and so I don't know when this was, but I got a great name for it. Y'all want to hear it? Water to wine vineyards. Huh? Isn't that, I think that's good. Come on, who wants to be my business partner? Water to wine vineyards. I even had this vision of, can y'all indulge me for just a minute? Of it. Man, there was this one place up on the bluff on the river, and I envisioned this old, like Greek, I don't know what they called them, but patios, kind of looking like patios, you know, this old Greek patio with these big clay jars and this little knee wall of columns and stuff. Like if you went to Athens or something, you would see something like this, right? And you could do wedding venues out there. Anyway, okay. Y'all are not as excited as I was about that. Vision. 2020 vision. Be clear, Todd. Be clear. 2020 vision. Vineyard is not in the vision, right? Okay. Moving right along. Anyways, the miracle of changing water to wine, it kind of kickstarted his ministry, right, in this earth, right? I mean, that's you know, he was like, woman, don't, you know, his mom was saying, do whatever he says, and he's like, don't, I'm not ready yet, and but anyways, so that's a biblical example of a miracle. It brings attention to, for the glory of God. It brings attention to, for the glory of God. Gift of prophecy, it's interpretation of divine knowledge or inspired preaching or teaching. It's and not just public, right? I mean, the gift of prophecy can be personal, I believe. How many need to preach themselves sometimes? How many need to be like David, encourage themselves sometimes? Well, as you read the Word, you can get divinely inspired by it. And I believe that is an example of the spirit of prophecy, but it can also be public as well. You know, I mean, this what I'm doing right now is a form of prophetic preaching, or not? No, I almost said gift of prophecy, because it's just inspired preaching and teaching. Amen. Spirit of discernment. Whoa, I'm telling you, for these days, this is something that we need desperately. Discerning, knowing the difference between a true spirit and a false spirit. Someone said to me the other day that they can always tell when someone is lying or not telling the truth about something. That is that spirit of discernment that is on them to discern that lying spirit. And we need to understand this. I mean, and I think even in today, let's give you a modern day example with our media. I mean, you know, all the, you know, fake news stuff that's been being talked about the last couple of years. I mean, you need discernment when it comes to what you're reading about or watching or hearing about. You need discernment. You can't just take it for granted that that is truth. You need to discern for yourself if there's a lying spirit behind it stirring up strife. Because that's a lot of it. Gift of tongues. I believe the gift of tongues gives you a divine connection to God. And it's also a sign for unbelievers. It's a sign for... Who was telling me? Well, anyways, I can't remember who it was. If you're here, just, you know, stay anonymous. That'll be fine. But... was saying that I knew who it was. That gift was flowing out of them, and it caused some interest in someone that overheard it. That may or may not have been born again. I don't know. So it is, and the Bible says it's a sign for unbelievers. So when you hear someone speaking or praying in tongues, it's a sign to an unbeliever, because they want to know what is that, you know, what's going on. But then also you have the interpretation, the gift of interpretation. Now when a tongue is interpreted, that is for the church body. I mean, that edifies the church. Right? That edifies, that brings insight to us who believe when that tongue is interpreted. And these are the gifts. Now, it can be for, I believe tongues can be for private use and for public use. When you pray in tongues, it says that you are edified. You are edified. You are praying directly to God. And you are praying out God's perfect will for whatever situation that you may be praying about. When you pray in tongues, you can, man, that should excite you. When you pray in tongues, you can pray out the perfect will of God for that situation. How many have ever gotten into a situation or a circumstance or some things going on in your family? You just don't know how you ought to pray about it. You just don't know. You pray in tongues when you have the gift of tongues. You pray in tongues and it prays out that perfect will of God for that situation. And it brings peace. I don't know about you, but when I pray in tongues, there is peace there. There is peace there. And that's the private part of the gift of tongues. And then there's a public part. It happens here when a word in tongues is given and there's an interpretation of that tongue. Then it edifies and builds up the body. It builds up us. It brings revelation to us. Amen? Let's look at Acts chapter 2. These are the gifts of the Spirit that are available to us that He allocates and gives to each one of us depending on what we're up against, what we're dealing with at the moment. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues." Let me just... if you've never experienced the gift of tongues, if you're born again and you've never experienced this gift, I just, right now, I want you to get your faith out there. Because I believe that it is a gift for us for now. And there are things that I've gone through that I don't know how they would have turned out had I not had that gift and operated in that gift. So I'm just saying, it is available to you. You know, it doesn't, if you don't walk in that gift, it doesn't affect your place in heaven or by any means, but it can affect your life here in this earth. It can make it easier, better. It can give you direction. And so as I read these verses, as we talk about this gift a little bit, I just want you to get your faith out there. To receive that gift, to operate in that gift. And it'll change you. It'll change you. Amen? Let me continue reading about this. Verse 3, "And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign languages or tongues as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words." Now they were residing, and here's, some people will say, oh, they're speaking a foreign language. That's like me who cannot speak Spanish, just giving a message in fluent Spanish. That's not what they're talking about here, and this is why. Now they were then residing, verse 5, "in Jerusalem, Jews, devout, God-fearing men from every country under heaven. And when the sound was heard, the multitude came together and they were astonished and bewildered because each one heard them," the apostles, "speaking in his own particular dialect." Each one. There was a multitude of foreign languages represented in this moment, and they each heard the word of God being spoken in their dialect. "And they were beside themselves with amazement, saying, are not all these who are talking Galileans? Then who is that? How is that we hear each of us in our own particular dialect to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and the province of Asia and all these other ones." Verse 12, "And all were beside themselves with amazement and were puzzled and bewildered, saying one to another, what can this mean? But others made a joke of it and derisively said, they are simply drunk and full of sweet intoxicating wine." Well, if they were drunk, they wouldn't be able to speak a foreign language anyways. "But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, you Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be explained to you so that you will know and understand. Listen closely to what I have to say. For these men are not drunk, as you imagine, for it is only the third hour, about 9 a.m. in the day. But instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels. And your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances. And your old men shall dream, divinely suggested dreams. Yes, on my men servants and also on my maid servants in those days, I will pour out of my spirit. And they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapor. This is the advent of tongues in the earth. It was at the day of Pentecost. And I go into that detail to help some that may question the legitimacy of the gift of tongues. And I know we're spending more time on this one versus the others. But I believe those others are kind of self-evident, if you will, or just common sense kind of. But this is one that we wrestle with typically sometimes. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm going to wrap this up. We have to build our faith. And I'm saying all this, and I believe there's people in here that have desired to operate in the gift of tongues but have not. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to give you opportunity today. And so what I am doing is trying to build your faith up for that. Faith comes by hearing. And let's hear what the Word of God has to say about it. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. It says, so it is with yourselves, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that will build up the church. Therefore, the person who speaks in an unknown tongue should pray for the power to interpret and explain what he says. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. Otherwise, if you bless and render thanks with your spirit thoroughly aroused by the Holy Spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider or he who is not gifted with interpreting of unknown tongues say the amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? I was just prompted, how many have experienced Bob Lemon singing in the spirit? What a blessing. What a blessing he was to the body and is. Because there are people that are still on this earth that sat under Dr. Lemon's tutorage and his encouragement. Where was I? To be sure, you may give thanks well, nobly, but the bystander is not edified. It does him no good. I thank God that I speak in strange tongues, languages, more than any of you, or all of you put together. Nevertheless, in public worship, I would rather say five words with my understanding and intelligently in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a strange tongue or language. And that's without interpretation. Amen? Brethren, do not be children, immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil, but in your minds be mature men. It is written in the law, by men of strange languages and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and not even then will they listen to me, says the Lord. Then jump down to verse 39 and get right to the conclusion. See how I did that for you? So to conclude, my brethren, earnestly desire and set your hearts on prophesying, on being inspired to preach and teach and interpret God's will and purpose. And then again, I don't think that is speaking to a pulpit ministry. I believe that is speaking to you in your individual lives, that you can preach, if you will, to people. You can teach people about the Word of God. You can help them experience Jesus for themselves. Amen? And do not forbid or hinder speaking in unknown tongues. But all things should be done with regard to decency and propriety and in an orderly fashion. That is a very short and quick synopsis of why the gift of tongues is important for today. When we are in a world where we don't know, sometimes, you know, up is up and down is down, when we are, our minds are just bombarded with information overload, and we don't know what to believe is right and what is wrong, the gift of tongues can help in that moment. The gift of discernment can help in that moment. And that's why these gifts are important, just as important today as they were back then. Just as important today. They have not died and gone away. I know Scripture says, you know, tongues will pass. That's not for now. That is when the perfection, Jesus, comes back, and we'll come back with Him. It is gifts. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is how He ministers in and through us, is through these gifts. And so I said, get your faith up.